wonder, under the sound of my voice, how many know that God will do it for you? If you know that God will do it for you, no, let's back that up. Has God already done it for you? If you know him to be that lily in the valley, that bright and morning star, you know he'll do it for you, y'all. Well, maybe you don't understand the lily in the valley and the bright and morning star. Maybe I'll give you this correlation. He is better than your smartphone, because he'll never drop a call on you. He's better than Instagram, because you can get an instant prayer in through Christ. Or talk back to me this morning if you can. He is quicker than Uber and will never take you to the wrong destination. Won't God do it for you? I know that I'm standing in the front of folks that God had done it for you. Because you recognize and you realize that you could not have done it by yourself. Somebody help me up in here this morning. I realize without the help of the Lord, my, where would we be? God has done it, y'all. God is doing it in each and every one of our lives. It doesn't take a long time to look back to realize just how good God is. Won't God do it? I know I'm not the only living witness in the building this morning that God will do it. When it looks like all hope is gone, when you can't figure it out no more, when folks are causing you doubt, God will do it. As always, I'm always trying to get to the sermon, but these brothers, they be picking on me. I fault them for not moving on. It is so indeed a pleasure to be standing here before you on this morning. And as always, I count myself not worthy of this amazing opportunity to stand before this congregation. And I thank God every day to be here in the place, worshiping and praising God amongst wonderful people of God. Seeing what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of this wonderful church. And so this month, we're going to be switching themes to a new theme. But I want to back up for a moment, because the church-wide fast is now over. And I can't tell you some of the emojis I got of people saying, I'm going to eat me something right now. And I joined in with them. But I thank God for your obedience, and I thank God for you accepting that challenge, and I pray that during that church-wide fast that God touched you, and that you know that it was the presence of the Lord and something you put forth. And I know we had items that we put forth as a church, but I also pray that you put something forth and we continue in that movement. Now we switch to the theme of stewardship for this month and for probably a good portion of maybe next month as well. And when you hear the term stewardship, the default is sometimes people just think it's about the offering and the tithe. Now, don't get me wrong, that's important now. So let me park here for a second. Because at first I want to thank this congregation for your wonderful financial contributions that you continue to give to this church. Come on, let's give God hand praise. And I'm not up here to brag or to boast, but, sometimes you guys just see what God is doing and God has done. And, I know we come here Sunday after Sunday, but let us not take for granted of all the wonderful facilities that God has blessed this church to purchase. And that's because of the resources and your financial commitment here. So I want to encourage you to keep on giving to the Lord. And you've heard me say that it's about the outreach. I want to back that up a little bit and say it's also about the inreach. We cannot be so busy about going to overseas and outside of the church where we don't take care of the people right here in front of us. And so it's in my mind, it's okay to take care of our family needs as well, and we ought to continue to be about that. So I thank God for, as you continue to give to this church, I encourage you to continue to do that as well. But we're going to be also looking outside of things beyond the tithing and the offering, and we'll circle back to that at a later date and time. And we're going to be talking about the gifts and the works that we do and how do we now take the current momentum that you may be in or we may be experiencing as a church, and how do we continue to move that momentum forward? Because it's one thing to start on the journey. It's another one to keep it moving forward. And we're all about moving forward and not backwards. And so we want to share with you a few words that the Lord has placed on my heart as we look at the gifts and the stewardship of us as individuals and we as a church as well. So that being said, I won't be before you long. We want to go ahead and go to the scripture reading this morning. And our scripture reading this morning is going to come from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, beginning at the first verse. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. If you dare, say amen. Amen. If you look there, you'll find these words. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whosoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passion, drunkenness, orgies, drinking party, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised. Somebody say surprised. When you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another. Loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, somebody say gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whosoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whosoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified. In everything that God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And let the church say amen. Amen. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear God, we are now at the appointed time and the appointed place where your preached word needs to go forth to touch the hearts and the minds of your people. I pray now, Lord God, that any distraction that might be in our mind, that you would help us to put it aside for these few moments ahead, God, that we might concentrate and listen to what thus saith the Lord God. God, we need you now, Lord God. We need you to feed us until we want no more. God, we thank you for this wonderful body called Antioch. We'd ask that you would just continue to bless in the midst of this community. continue to bless this church as we continue to spread the good news of Christ. Oh Lord, allow this preacher to decrease, that your word would increase. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, we live in a world today where you can do just about anything with the push of a button. With the push of a button, you can have someone get in their car, go to your favorite restaurant, pick up the meal that you chose, have them get back in their car, come back to your house, ring your doorbell while you're still in your pajamas, and give you the meal that you've ordered. We live in a world where you can be sitting on the beach and get people to serve you anything that you want served. Technology is all over the place that allows us to do some of these things. I'm amazed now that you can go to the theater, press a button, and people will bring food right to your seat. We can be served at any place at any time. I want to circle back to just a few months ago when the church had the ministry fair. And the purpose of the ministry fair was to get you to sign up to serve in whatever ministry God has called you to serve in. It was also to plus up ministries that needed to be plus up and restart ministries that needed to be restarted. And I thank you for so many of you signing up to continue the awesome work that we have here at Antioch, utilizing your gift. And knowing what your gift is so important in life. We have to be important to not let other people try to convince us what our gift is. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to reflect back on years ago when I joined the church early. And I was hanging out with the men of the church. And somehow during that hanging out, they convinced me that I could sing. Well, I don't know what they heard in those conversations, but never in my life I thought I could sing. But nonetheless, you know, sometimes you hear these things, you say, oh, maybe I can do this. And I started going to the rehearsals. I was singing in the car. I was singing in the house. I was getting ready for my big debut. The day came, and there I was standing in front of the church. All the wonderful people ready to hear Jeff Gaines sing this song. And when I opened my mouth, it went downhill quick and in a hurry. It was awful. And someone did what I like to refer as a mercy save. They ran up, grabbed the mic, and slid me out the way. They were surprised that I didn't have the gift of singing. Then sometime later, as I accepted my call to ministry, and as it was, I was stationed in Korea, and I had another minister friend over there. He was pastoring a church, and he asked me to come preach at the church that he was at. I accepted that invitation, and when I got up to preach, just like I'm standing here, for some reason, I've forgotten about the incident that happened years ago. So in that moment, I opened my mouth and started singing. And I heard my good friend, and we're still friends today, he said these words. He said, stick to your gift and singing, ain't it? And he was right. We have to know the gift that God has put in us. But also, when you know what the gift is, you got to start working in that gift. And so for a few minutes, I just want to lead the subject with this morning, surprise by your gift. Because I believe that God has uniquely blessed all of us with at least one gift in life. And if you don't know what that gift is, I submit to you that one gift that all of us, I'm jumping ahead, one gift that all of us have is the gift of serving. There's always a place to serve in the church. But there are other gifts that operate as well. So I want to take a few minutes to kind of walk through 1 Peter to give you a few things about stewardship and about utilizing or understanding the gift that God has given us and how we ought to be good stewards of what God is doing in our life. So we find ourselves here in the book of 1 Peter, written by the Apostle Peter. And the whole book is really trying to encourage those individuals who are going through a tough season, a tough journey that they're facing. And he uses scriptures to try to, words to try to help them navigate in that space, trying to get them to understand here in the fourth chapter of working for the Lord and who should get the glory and how all that should unfold. And I like this because as we look in this text, I'm not only going to pull a few points out for you, but before I pull those out, I think I want to level set on what I mean by stewardship. Because as I indicated, all too often when you hear that term, people default to its tithing offering. That is one component, but it's not the only component. And so for a few minutes, if you would allow me to just be in agreement with me about this, and stewardship is simply taking care of what God has given you, managing that very well. He's entrusted you and I with gifts, with material things, with financial things, with health, with thinking, all of these things. We ought to be good stewards of what God has blessed us in our lives. So if we could use that as a starting point, I believe it'll help us as we navigate this a little bit. So the author starts off with this about no longer for human passion, but for the will of God. No longer for my own passion, no longer for my own desire. Whatever my gift is, I want to do it for the will of God. It's okay to get a pat on the back, but I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm looking to serve God in everything I say or do. I just want God's will to be done in my life. I'm encouraged that when I have conversations with you all, a lot of times at the end of that conversation, you tell me the Lord's will be done. For we can make all the plans that we want to, but I want God's will to be done at the end of all of this. I could have been planning to be on a cruise somewhere, but I just want to do the will of God. That's what the author talks about when it says putting all of our passions aside, focusing on doing the simple will of God. I believe this is a tough one. Because in life, if we're not careful, all too often, our own priorities are always struggling at us. Or with it, I want to do this and I want to do that. How does it line up with the gift that God has placed you to do? I believe at the end of this sermon, I want you to take an assessment of your life and say, God, am I using my gift to the fullest? Am I doing your will with the gift that you've given me? I know I don't have the gift of singing. I'll be talking about that in a couple of minutes. But you have to understand what your gift is. The author further states that they are surprised when you don't join them. Now, before the author makes that statement, it goes through a list of things like adultery, drunkenness, and all these activities that you see going on or hear going on. But the author further states that they are surprised when we don't join in the activity. Well, let me rephrase that. They should be surprised. Somebody say amen this morning. What do I mean by that? I believe it's important for all of us to know and understand that we have to hold up the bloodstained banner for Christ. There is a standard that we have to adhere to when it comes to the will of God. We can no longer just do what everybody else is doing in the world. There is this notion that I have to agree to everything you say. I have to agree to everything that I see in the world if I want to show love. Our gift sets us aside from signing up from all of that. I think you should understand that for me personally, I have friends that are saved and unsaved. But I cannot go to every invite that I receive. Oh, let me say that again. I love everybody. I can witness to everybody. But I can't go every place that everybody else goes to. I don't want my gift to be, I don't want the effectiveness of my gift to be hindered by the activity that I might find myself in. Let me say that again. Folks will look at you strange when you say, I'm not going to go to certain events or certain activity because God has put a unique gift in my life. And I don't want that gift to conflict with anything God has for me to do. And you know, when folks get surprised, the next thing that usually happens is they want to malign you. They want to talk about you. You know how it goes. Well, who does she think she is? What's he doing up there? Who do they think they are? They think they're better than I am. No, I'm just protecting the gift that God has put in my life. We're talking about being good stewards of what God has given us. They will be surprised by your gift. We have to use our gift to serve one another. We have to use our gift not for our own glory, not for our own gain, but to serve one another in this church and in the community. Serving. We have to say to ourselves, it's not about me. It's about kingdom building. It's about witnessing for Christ. It's about loving those who are hard to love. Somebody say amen this morning. I asked the question, what good is a gift if it isn't shared? Think about it from this perspective. Have you ever given some, well, let me phrase it this way. What would you think if you gave somebody a gift? And you watch them immediately take it and put it in a storage bin and slide it out of the way. What would you think if you gave them a gift and they immediately took it down to the basement and hid it way off in the corner? What would you think if you gave them the gift and they shoved it in the corner? You'd probably go, what in the world is going on here? Or you may go, they won't be getting the gift next time. And for a brave few, you might go, can I get that gift back? I wonder, when God looks at our life and he sees the gift that he's given you and I wonder, did he see us put it in the bin? I wonder, did he see us take it down to the basement? I wonder what God is saying when we don't utilize the gift to its fullness. There are so many gifts that you can't run out of them. The gift of help, the gift of love, the gift of a kind word, the gift of giving, the gift of encouragement. There are so many gifts that God has for all of us to utilize as good stewards. Let me speak briefly on stewardship. And I like to use this example of taking care of what God has blessed all of us to have and do. You ever had that occasion where maybe you were going to be out of town and someone needed to use your residence? And while you were gone, you gave them full access to your entire residence. Or maybe someone had car problems and you loaned them your car. Or maybe it was a tool or something you loaned someone. And then when it was time to return it back to you, you walk into your house, dirty dishes all over the place. House is unkept. They bring the car back, and there's no gas in it, or it hadn't been charged up. Those are examples of people who really weren't good stewards of what they received. Consequently, in our life, I wonder, all the things that God has left in our life, are we taking care of it? So when he returns, we left it better. We're doing all the good work. It's charged up. I'm witnessing. I'm serving. I just didn't receive the gift and hang on to it for myself. I wanted to share the gift with somebody else. You know, the thing about accepting Christ in your life, it's a gift. And when you experience that gift, you got to say, somebody else got to have this gift. Because it's such a great gift. Let me say it this way. When a man puts the engagement ring on a woman, the first thing she wants to do after that is share it with the friends. When a brother gets a bigger or new car, they want to share it. How much more important it is to share this gift of Christ. And in stewardship and the gift, the end state is simply this. We want to glorify God in everything. It's important that all of our actions and deeds glorify the Father. Because where we fall into trouble is when we think the glory belongs to us. Whatever we're saying and do, to God be the glory. On top of the mountain, to God be the glory. Falling down the mountain, to God be the glory. Promotion or demotion, to God be the glory. Lose weight, I can't say gain weight. More healthier, to God be the glory. I just want my words, my deeds, my actions to glorify God. So we land at the application piece, because at the end of the day, we want you to walk out these doors saying, how do I use this in my life? It's one thing to get the knowledge. It's another thing to put it into action. And I believe the application piece relates back to a story that happened in my life. And that story goes like this. Maybe about 40 years ago, a friend of mine, he was a young minister. We were good friends. He might have been 21, 22. And I was 20, 21. I went over to his house. And he saw me and he said, God has the gift of preaching in your life. I'd like to tell you what I thought. I can tell you what I said. I said, brother, you're crazy. I really don't know anything about this Jesus that you're talking about. But he was emphatic that God was going to use me in this way. I was surprised he had made that statement. And for years, I wanted to reject that statement. And it wasn't very long after that conversation, the Lord called him on home. But of all the years later, God started working the gift in my life. And what I'm trying to say is this. Your gift has to mature in our growth. We just got to be willing to embrace the gift. So whatever your gift is, as you nourish it, as you pray on it, as you operate in it, God will do the rest. We just got to learn to do it all in the strength of the Lord. I said at the first service, if I would have graduated from high school, they would have voted me the least likely the person to stand before you today. Had no desire to stand before people and say anything. So I'm only standing up here by the awesome power and will of God. Because I simply refuse to put my gift in the storage bin. I simply refuse to walk down the basement and put it back off in a room where no one can see it. I refuse to slide my gift over into the corner because I want God to be glorified. Now, what does all that mean to you? I believe it's this. We are in a state of transition here at Antioch. And maybe in time past, your gift was not tapped into. Maybe your gift was ignored or not accepted. That time is now over. If you have a gift, if God has given you the gift to serve, to usher, to dance, parking lot ministry, preach, teach, sing, whatever it may be, now is the time to exercise that gift. There's just too much going on in the world. Would you stand with me this morning?